Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3. Mind Your Business with Howie Lim and Bernard Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
Now, businesses need to move quickly to address the ethical challenges posed by new and emerging technologies. And with the model framework of AI governance released by the Singapore government earlier this year, the public and private sectors can collaborate closely to ensure AI is ethically and responsibly used in both businesses and public services.
But is it enough? I mean, just as security on every boardroom agenda, digital ethics will get there too, we hope. I mean, to tell us more, we have Ritin Mathur, data and AI lead at the Avadad ASEAN. Ritin, first help us define the ethical challenges arising from a new tech like AI.
In terms of AI, what's happening is that our capacity and ability to do and leverage AI to make a difference for businesses, for people alike, that capacity has far exceeded the consensus on how we should do it. And it's this dissonance between what we can do and between what we should and how we do that digital ethics and frameworks seek to address.
What are the implications of not addressing the challenges that have come up?
Well, several actually. You know, from a business perspective, you know, a good, strong ethics framework builds trust with customers. It helps establish a brand identity for a business in terms of being trustful, in being able to provide services that meet the needs. And from a macro perspective, also it ensures that societal divides, don't get reinforced and biases that we probably spend generations trying to overcome, whether it's ethnicity or gender, don't get reinforced.
Maybe you can talk us through, for the benefit of our listeners as well, how robust is the AI framework governance here in Singapore?
I think it's a very forward-looking document. Minister Iswaran released it earlier in Jan in Davos at the World Economic Forum. It's got the right set of principles based on which businesses and governments and public services can weigh AI and the services and products that leverage AI. And it's got four key principles of fairness and inclusion, of trust, of transparency, as well as accountability when it comes to leveraging AI for products and services.
But? Is there a but?
No. In this case, and in most digital ethics frameworks, actually, those are frameworks. I think the rubber meets the road when those frameworks come up against real-life situations or application of AI. And it's how those frameworks are interpreted and executed upon that makes the difference.
Okay, and should there be a separate frameworks for businesses and public services, you think?
I think the framework is fairly consistent and it transcends the business and the public sector areas. And if you look at the articulation of the framework in terms of digital ethics and AI being fair, being inclusive, being trustworthy, being transparent, having some human accountability to it and reliability, I think those transcends whether it's a business or a government service. So to that extent, those are pretty universal principles.
You know, this just fears the tech phobias of the world going, see, I told you, Skynet was going to come and take over the world. AI was going to come take over the world, make humans redundant. But that kind of really fuels some skeptics of technology in general, doesn't it, Ritin?
It does. And that skepticism may be, well-founded given the recent examples that we've seen. And like I said earlier, you know, some of the challenges of ethics is that a capacity to leverage AI has far exceeded any kind of consensus. And over thousands of years, we haven't been able to agree on good and bad. And that interpretation is very, very subjective. I think as companies and businesses and governments are finding out that there is a balance, and I think once handled in the right way with the right balance of those principles of fairness and inclusion, I think some of those fears may go away.
What's the resistance, though? What's holding things up? Too many cooks to the kitchen? What's happening?
I think it's a case of that dissonance disappearing over a period of time, and both the what we can do and how we do it coming lock in step. There are certainly regulatory aspects of it. There is certainly room for harmonization to come into it. But I think that's a question of time before it comes in.
What more needs to be and can be done at this stage, Ritin?
From an Avanade perspective, we've released a digital ethics framework, which are around some of the principles that I mentioned earlier. I think some of the steps we're seeing businesses take is establishing those principles in their context, in their businesses, in their market. I think that's the first step that we see businesses take. The second step is making those principles become real. And that's through a combination of, making those public so that the company itself can be held accountable to those principles and making them a part of the institutional processes within the company. So, for example, we are seeing ethics boards come up, and these ethics boards are a kind of a governance body that help products and services evaluate how they are upholding these principles that we spoke about of fairness, transparency, etc. There's also a lot of training that we are seeing that companies are imparting to be able to translate these principles in actuality when the actual algorithms get developed, how data gets evaluated to ensure there are no biases in the data. So those are some of the ways. And I think, one large trend that we're seeing is design-led practices and design thinking-led practices have been very key in helping designers of services and products evaluate whether there are any inherent barriers to adoption or any inherent biases in the service itself, and being able to address them through product and service design itself.
Risen, help us define digital ethics. Philosophers have had trouble with it for millennia, defining ethics to govern human behavior.
Right.
How are we going to define digital ethics?
And, philosophers haven't defined it in a millennia, but I think we are trying to find a middle ground here, something which is applicable and generally well understood, not in philosophical terms, but in real terms.
Of course,
terms.
Or existential terms, yeah.
Yeah, it's probably easier to think of them as a set of rules or a set of principles and values which govern digital interactions between businesses, between people. So it's a set of values and morals and principles against which you can evaluate a product or a service.
It feels like therein lies the problem. Who is supposed to come up with the rules, right? And will they then come up with it with some sort of nefarious intent where it just benefits them? So that's the challenge that it's being faced with coming up with digital ethics.
Right, and I think the answer lies both ways, both for businesses themselves to internalize these in their design, but also there's certainly a regulatory and compliance aspect from a government perspective as well. And as you mentioned earlier, Singapore has released a framework. I think it's an advisory stage right now, and we're seeing governments across the globe. Australia has released something. We've seen a lot of governments in Europe, in the European Commission also releasing a framework for such guidelines. And I think it's a matter of time before some of these guidelines become a little bit more coded into law. We've seen GDPR come through as an example of regulation that is attempting to regulate how data really gets used.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to the principle of trust and consent and people knowing what data is used to make a decision and what data is collected and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a little bit of a graded process. I think frameworks are getting defined now, and you'll see them, some of the important ones at least getting co-opted into law as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Riti, maybe you can talk us through how challenging has it been raising awareness of digital ethics?
Look at it from two perspectives. I think in the public arena, we've seen many examples and spectacularly, spectacular fails in some sense, in which companies have failed to adhere to these principles. Earlier in the year, you saw Google announce that on the Nest security camera, there was a microphone, which
mm-hmm.
consumers didn't know about,
mm-hmm.
right? And that certainly raises the game for everybody to make sure that they're very transparent in their communication to clients and customers on what their product or service really entails. We've seen examples of Facebook and the Cambridge Analytica where
yep.
a lot of data was used unknowingly. So a lot of these examples as they come out are helping raise awareness externally of the need for such kind of a digital framework, and also internally within companies in raising the game a little bit to be able to address some of these. We've seen Salesforce recently announce the appointment of a chief ethics officer, and that's an indication of how even internally companies are recognizing the need to raise awareness of these issues.
What do you think the state of things is right now? Are people aware enough? You don't want to wait till you spectacularly fail
yeah.
and then embroiled in some sort of scandal before you realize, some digital ethics would help you.
Yeah. We're seeing a lot of awareness in the technology-first companies where the primary product or service is digital. I think those naturally lend themselves to, needing to becoming more aware and more actionable in that sense. I think in the more traditional companies that still maybe a little bit behind and catching up. But certainly in the digital companies where products and services are digital first, we're seeing a lot of action and momentum in these areas.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you can share with us, what does doing ethics right look like?
Especially since a lot of this is surrounding technology.
Absolutely, yeah.
That
yeah.
changes really quickly. Mm-hmm. What if you set some sort of rule and then that's got to change because yeah. the tech has changed, and what do we do?
Doing ethics right, means transparent communication. It means obtaining consent of customers whose data you're using
mm-hmm.
and for whom you're making certain recommendations. Doing AI and ethics right means being accountable for the decisions, even unintended outcomes of certain decisions that an AI algorithm is making. Doing it right is making sure that there are no inherent biases in the way your product or service is working. So those are some examples of how it's like a test against, is this product or service ethically responsible product or service, right? Is it fair? Is it being biased towards a certain, you know, certain group of people? Is it being transparent? Is it explainable? And that's a big challenge with some of these AI systems, in that they tend to be black box algorithms, mm-hmm. right? It gives you an answer, but the traceability or the explainability or the intelligibility of the algorithm and how it arrived at the answer sometimes is missing. So those are some checks that you do to make sure that your service is ethically responsible.
But it's odd you'd say bias written, because you'd think that tech and AI and all that would be not biased. That's the whole point, right? Bias is a human sort of emotion, yes. if you will. Yes. And ethics is also a human thing. So it's a little hard to say marry the two and hope to slap a human value on AI.
That's an interesting comment. And the bias is usually inadvertent. The bias is in maybe the data set that you use to train the AI. And I think an example of that comes to mind, which is of Amazon. And Amazon wanted to use an AI algorithm to speed up its recruitment process and make sure that the right skills are being hired for. And they trained an AI algorithm on a batch of resumes from the past that has
sounds
succeeded.
Objective enough.
Sounds objective. There should be skills, etc.
Yeah.
But in the past, what had happened was, and in tech, this is particularly a problem, that the representation of women in tech is small. And so the algorithm learned to favor resumes which were male-oriented.
Oh, how odd.
And that was coming in because of the training set it was given.
Yeah.
So it's an inadvertent bias. The AI algorithm itself isn't biased.
Given due by humans, you see.
But due diligence.
The data set, right.
That's right. So the diligence needs to happen at the data side, and that's where ethics review ensures that in the design process itself, are you making sure that are all groups of people being represented adequately? Mm. And in Amazon's defense, the minute they found it out, they pulled it back.
Right.
But sometimes it takes a little bit of time and a little bit of a lag to find that out.
Written Martha, data and AI lead at Avanade ASEAN. You can find them at avanade.com. That is AVANADE.com. Written, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.